Let's move on to the next section, building doable foundations. We'll get that going. There we go. Hope y'all are doing good. We are rocking and rolling. I'm very proud of y'all hanging in there.
Let's talk about how to set up doable foundations as your baseline for your weight loss journey. Now, doable foundations are an agreement you make with yourself that give you the minimum actions and behaviors that you're going to do to lose weight in the face of life's challenges. They are there to help you build momentum and confidence in weight loss and to provide some flexibility for the four basics when the shit hits the fan. Doable foundations also help you build trust with yourself because these agreements you make with yourself, they are the things you've decided you want to consistently do from here on out. Now, the very first doable foundation I gave myself was 15 minutes of walking per day. At the time, I was well over 250 pounds with a one-year-old, and I literally was too tired to play with him every damn day. But I wanted to be the kind of mom who had enough energy to go to the park and to take him on walks. I also wanted to be able to dart out into the street and grab him if he ever got away from me. I decided that on day one of my weight loss journey, that I was going to walk for 15 minutes every day for the rest of my life. When I thought about it, it felt like something I could see myself doing even in my old age. I could see why it was good for me, and I could honestly say it wasn't a big fucking ask. I knew that even at 90 years old, I wanted to be a woman who could walk to the potty unassisted. But walking 15 minutes every day wasn't going to be scorching calories or significantly improving my cardio capacity. But here's what those walks did for me. They made me get clever on cold days about how I would get in 15 minutes of walking in my own house instead of sitting on my ass. They made me show up anyway when I thought a 15-minute walk was insignificant. That commitment taught me how to pay attention to all the little things that added up to 100 pounds gone for good. And those walks that I still take to this day help me see that I can have my own word whenever I decide to. Now, let me warn you, doable foundations will likely trigger you to think things like, this isn't good enough, or I don't want to. And that is the point of doable foundations. Doable foundations need to bring up this bullshit thinking that has stopped you in the past from losing weight. And when these thoughts come up, you have the opportunity to prove your thinking wrong by doing what you agreed to do with your best self. And in those moments, it'll be easy to talk yourself into these actions because these behaviors, they don't take a ton of willpower, obedience, or perfectionism to accomplish, unlike what your past diets required. When you combine doable foundations, understanding how change works, and the four basics, you're going to be well on your way to being someone who believes in themselves, who loses weight with simple steps, and who seeks to make their life easier instead of thinking weight loss has to be hard. Now, to set your doable foundations, the first thing you must do is start where you are today without judgment and shame. This is another place diet mentality or old you thinking will want to creep in. Don't fall into the trap of thinking you should be able to do more or that what you decide isn't good enough. Remember, the diet industry has sold you a book of lies that losing weight is hard and that you're a better person the harder things are. It's just not true. Last I checked, ain't nobody getting into heaven because they ate clean and stayed at a goal weight. So instead of throat punching yourself over and over again for where you're starting, I want you to remind yourself of new thinking. You have my permission to stop being so hard on yourself and start being there for yourself. Anything you decide as a doable foundation is moving you forward from where you are right now. One day, you might be able to do more, but that's a gift you'll give yourself by starting where you are today. So your doable foundations are personal and they are only for you. They must feel like they can be done in the face of life's usual shit. A doable foundation that can't be done in the face of your kids getting sick, your boss asking you to work late, or a vacation, that ain't a doable foundation. It's a bullshit rule you think you have to do to lose weight. Most NoBS women start with the four basics as their doable foundation. So you might want to do things like drink 16 ounces of water prior to coffee every morning to get that hydration started. Maybe you no longer want to use the snooze button in exchange for just sleeping uninterrupted up until the moment you know your ass is actually going to get up. Maybe you plan your food each day, making sure that whatever you put on there feels plentiful, tasty, and can be chosen in the moments that you're tired, you're overwhelmed, or thinking something else would fucking taste better. If it doesn't meet that criteria, you make the plan different. You go back and rewrite it. You're not going to change the plan in the moment that you're throwing your weight loss under the bus anymore. Now, another doable foundation might be to never go back for seconds. You can fill up your plate as much as you want, but seconds are now something you just won't be doing anymore because you know your body doesn't need it. And maybe you always have a snack with you that can help you out if you get stuck in traffic or in case your body is hungrier than you thought it would be for the day. And some of you might want to modify your four basics until you get some momentum built. You might only create a 24-hour doable plan 3 days a week at the start, so you can break feeling like you're being forced to eat on a plan. Doing it 3 days a week is enough days to show you that planning the NoBS way is not depriving and rigid like your other diets. You might not be ready to wait for hunger because it triggers your body to panic. In the beginning, you might choose to create food plans, but to go ahead and eat every 3 hours so that you can rebuild trust with your body, that you're going to nourish it unlike past starvation diets. Just remember, doable foundations are for you. They aren't rules and regulations made against you. They are things the part of you that loves you says, I know we can do this. And it's the first steps to becoming who we really want to be. So how do you know if your doable foundation is actually doable? Just ask yourself, could I do this on a day where the shit is hitting the fan? Remember, you might not want to. You might think it won't matter. But could you do it anyway? Could you talk yourself into it as easily as you're trying to talk yourself out of it? Now, that's a doable foundation. When it can be done in the face of the I don't want to's, you got a winner. And the more you strengthen your commitment to weight loss, the more momentum and motivation you build to lose your weight for the last damn time. So decide your doable foundations in each of the four basics. Assess where you're at and decide what will now be the foundation in which all of your weight loss happens.
All right. Let me pull up my worksheet for building doable foundations. Again, I've got it expanded as far as I can, so hopefully it won't be too blurry. If it is, just remember that we are giving you all of these worksheets, so it's going to be on your replay page. You can always look at them then, but I will walk you through them. And y'all can tell I had to take that jacket off. It's getting hot in here. All right. Okay. What is my doable foundation for drinking water? So mine is 64 ounces of water every single day. I have been somebody who drinks at least 64, if not up to a gallon of water every day. I figured out how much water I really need every day in order to not have headaches. Anything below 64, and I am going to feel like ass the next day. I'm not going to sleep as well. I am for sure not going to wake up with ease the next morning. I also notice if I don't drink at least 64 ounces of water a day, my joints hurt worse. So I am really good about making sure that I get those 64 ounces. 8 ounces are going to be while I make my coffee, because that's really easy for me. My Keurig takes a minute to make my coffee. We keep water bottles right next to the Keurig machine in the pantry. I grab a bottle and I just drink some while the coffee's brewing. And I do 8 on the way to work out. So I always drink my coffee. And then when I'm getting ready to go work out, I always drink a little water before I start, because I don't really love drinking water while I work out. It sloshes in my belly too much. So doing it beforehand just helps me out. I keep a bottle of water beside my bed because I get really thirsty in the middle of the night. I am someone who will wake up and I will be so thirsty. And the easiest way for me to go back to sleep is to make sure that I am drinking water. And then I drink water with my meals and with date night wine. So we go to the same date night place all the time. I have ordered water so much now that they always say, like, what wine do you want? And they always bring me a wine glass that has water, no ice, because they know that's how I like it. And so that has become like a routine for me. Sleep. I got to have 7 hours of sleep, or Corinne is a douchebag the next day, for real. And so my doable foundation is 7 hours a night. I take Sleep Remedy. You can go to nobsfreecourse.com/faves if you want to like read about this. Probably the only thing that like Sleep Remedy is on my faves page, which means that if you buy some, I get a little something. It ain't much, but that's where you can also find out about it. It is, I've been taking these for years now. Chris and I started them about 3 or 4 years ago. It is melatonin and I think there's some tryptophan in it, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not really sure. And magnesium, which also helps with poop. So we take 3 of those a night. And I wake up without being groggy. So I take those every night. I even travel with them. So every one of our travel suitcases has a bottle of Sleep Remedy in there so that we never go out of town without it. Eating when hungry. I always ask myself before I put a bite in my mouth, am I actually hungry? And I ask that question whether I plan to honor it or not. I think this is really important when it comes to a doable foundation. Is doable foundations aren't about perfection. They are about the minimum things that you're always going to be doing. And so like when I think about eating when hungry, at the base level, I want to make sure for the rest of my life that I am asking the question. Sometimes I honor it and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I have good reasons. Like this morning, I ate when I wasn't hungry. I had a protein bar before we got started. I had 10 minutes before we were going to go live and I did practical eating. I was not hungry yet this morning, but I also knew I wasn't going to be done until well after 2:30 today. And I did not want to teach on an empty stomach. So I did what was called practical eating, which was like, all right, I know I'm not hungry, but it makes sense to eat. There are some times too, like if we go, let's say we go out to eat and we weren't planning on it and I'm not super hungry, I'll always ask myself the questions. I'll just be honest. Every now and then I'll still eat because I'm out to eat with other people. I just want to be aware of when I'm doing it and my reasons, because I don't want shitty excuses or justifications around food to ever go unnoticed. It's the unnoticed ones that really screw us up. So asking that question at a minimum and knowing my answers is helpful for future processing and making sure that the habits that I want on repeat for the rest of my life stay intact. Stopping at enough, always ask myself at the midpoint of eating, where am I at with enough right now? When I start getting into the middle point, I do ask myself this, whether I honor it or not. I want to be the kind of person that sets herself up for any moment that she wants to follow through, she has the option. I want you to hear that. I want to be the kind of person that's asking these questions so that if I really want to follow through, I give myself the option. If I stop asking the questions because sometimes I don't follow through and I beat myself up, then I become the kind of person who gives herself no more options to succeed. So I want to be that person who gives herself options to succeed. So for both hunger and enough, if I choose to eat anyway, here's the doable foundation. I am at the very least compassionately honest with myself as to what I truly wanted, wished for, told myself, or needed in that moment. The baseline for my doable foundations is compassion, belief, Remember how we said everybody deserves to be seen and heard? This is how I'm always seeing and hearing Corinne's truest needs. For making a doable 24-hour plan, this is for the current No BS members only. Before the workshop, if you're not a No BS member, I taught you three of the basics. The fourth one's a little more complicated, so we save that for our members, but I want to go over this because most of our members are here. I make a plan even if it's on a napkin. When I go to Vegas, before I had my iPad, so we give everybody who joins No BS a planner, a food planner. It's our custom planner that got redesigned this year. So if you haven't been with us for a while, it's brand new. And it's in a format where you can download it and it's yours to keep. So once you save it to your computer, you've got it forever. You can print it yourself or you can have someone else print it. Or if you use iPads like I do, you can load it to your iPad and you can write in it. So I carry mine everywhere now. But prior to that, one of the things that I did was I would go on vacation and I would grab, this is so funny. I have a Four Seasons thing here. Chris wrote this. This is not a doable plan, but we were staying at Four Seasons and I will grab a notepad like this. Every hotel just about always has a little notepad. And I would write down what I thought I would eat for the day. And if I didn't know what restaurants we were going to on vacation, if I didn't know what was happening, I would at least write down there, don't know where I'm going, but I do know I will ask if I'm hungry before I eat. And if I am eating, I will make sure that I stop it enough, get a go box, whatever I need to do. I would think through as many decisions as I possibly could. I would give myself, here are the ways you can win, even if you don't know what's being served. So for like all of you that have amazing partners who love to cook for you at night, but they don't love telling you what they're going to make. They like the surprise. They, you know, that's where their creative culinary genius comes out. And they don't want to be beholden to you needing to write on your plan. You write what my husband or girlfriend or wife cooks. And here's my smart decisions around it. I'll load up on veggies, maybe because they always make veggies. If they don't always make veggies, I know how to eat. When I'm hungry, I know how to ask if I've had enough. Maybe you think like they're a delicious cook and it's very rich food. And it's all the things like I am fucking married to Bobby Flay. I wish I was. Let's just say I could eat. Every time I watch Beat Bobby Flay, I'm like, I need me some Bobby Flay up in my life. But let's say you're married to Bobby Flay and it's decadent as fuck. Here's what you can write on your plan. I'll never need seconds because it's decadent as fuck and I'm going to enjoy it. And I don't have to go back for seconds. I can eat out of the small bowl. Whatever it is, you always have a choice. I think that's the thing I want you to notice with your doable foundations. You have choices into how to make sure you're winning. You have to quit saying, I have no choice because of these reasons. Whenever somebody tells me they have no choice because of these reasons, here's what I know. They think there's only one way to get it done. And I think there's thousands of ways to win. And I would much rather have thousands of ways to win so that I'm not locked into the world having to behave perfectly in one specific way in order to make this diet work. That's a hoser. We don't need no more of that in our life. What's my doable foundation for self-care? I don't go to bed with a dirty face anymore. I have in my side table, so I have like what I would call the good face wash. So then on the days where I'm highly motivated, I'm in the bathroom and I'm like doing my scrub and I got my little machine that like brings all my whole makeup off to the surface. And then I got my days that I'm like a Neutrogena wet wipe is the best we got today. And I wipe my face down because I know I don't sleep good when I got shit on my face. I use my favorite shower gels. If I buy something or somebody gives me a shower gel that stinks or I don't like it, my doable foundation for self-care is throw it away. It is not worth using something that I half-ass enjoy. Shower gels are such an easy win to start every day feeling like I care for myself. I happen to love philosophy. It's one of my favorites. I get rid of clothes and shoes that don't work for my body. Instead of getting my money's worth out of them or telling myself, you know, this is what I paid, my self-talk is more valuable than any dollar I've ever spent on a piece of clothing. And if I am wearing something that I don't feel good in, that feels like shit on my body, scratches me, too tight, made wrong, shoes are like ass, we get rid of those things. We donate those to people who could do better with them, who can actually love and appreciate this item more than I can. And this is also the thing I want you to hear. Get rid of clothes that don't work for your body. Not all clothes are meant to work for your body. Your body is not a problem. All of you. I grew up in the day when we couldn't get good-looking clothes when you were in a plus size. You couldn't get good garments in a plus size. When this picture was taken, this little eighth grade version of me, I was wearing my granny's dress from Sears. I have nothing against Sears. I don't even know if Sears is even in, I think Sears is out of business, but I couldn't wear girls' clothing because they didn't make plus size clothing for kids. I had to wear my grandmother's clothes because that was the only closet I could shop out of that had big enough clothes that would fit me. And I say this because we are in such a blessed day and age. They're like, the fashion industry is doing such a better job of dressing all bodies. Please stop thinking you've got to earn clothes, that your body has to be smaller before you can buy clothes. Your body deserves your love from the day one to the last day. It deserves to feel good right now. A friend of mine, she's an OBS woman too. She may even be here today. Judith Gatton. She always talks about like, clean out your janky panties. Like, get rid of those panties that crawl up your ass, don't feel good. Just, ugh. Women, we deserve to treat ourselves better. Number one, you have to treat yourself better in first thinking, like, my body's not the problem when clothes don't fit it. That means these clothes don't serve me. And I deserve to wear things that I feel good in, whether that is stretchy pants and big ass t-shirts. If that's your jam, that's what you should be wearing. And you should wear it with some pride because you're taking care of your body. If you don't have the money to go and replace clothes as you get smaller, find affordable options. But the thing I watch most women do is they sit there and they just make their body a problem when it comes to clothes. And they keep thin clothes that trigger them to feel like I should be smaller. Those used to fit me. You want to lose weight? We're going to talk about this in the next session. You set that environment up to no longer trigger you to self-loathe. When I was losing weight, I got rid of a lot of my clothes as I went down. It really dawned on me that old me always kept her old clothes just in case. I didn't want a parachute anymore or a safety net anymore in case I gained my weight back. I wanted to like cut it all loose. I was like, if there's a version of me who loses all of her weight, never regains it, she's never going to want these clothes. They're going to just be taking up space. So I don't want them taking up my emotional space right now. If you're not ready to get rid of them, at least pack them up and get them out of your eyes view. And then my self-care is notice negative self-talk and remind myself, I don't talk to myself that way anymore. That is the best version of self-care you can ever do, is to get so aware of when you're not saying nice things to yourself and you just simply say, that's not how I talk to myself anymore. Now, when I first started doing this, it was probably thousands of times a day. I'm not joking. And it took weeks before it wasn't thousands of times a day. And people will tell me, oh my God, that just seems like so much work. Look, if weight loss is going to be work, that's where we want to be working hard. I want you exhausted from telling yourself, I don't talk to myself like that anymore. Instead of exhausted with yourself every day because of how you keep talking to yourself unchecked. Movement, one lift per week. That's what I do. Like I actually lift 3 times a week, but my minimum, if I have a really busy week, is I'm going to get in a lift every week. I can do body weight if I have to. I get in 3 cardio workouts per week. It can be same days, like it'd be one lift day with a cardio, whatever. I like that stuff. That's just how I like setting my life up. For me, moving is how I care for myself. It's the time I get to listen to my ass jams. I get to be with myself. And I have such good positive self-talk while I'm working out. I wouldn't want to not give myself that gift. When I'm working out, I'm often saying to myself on the inside, you're so strong. You're getting better at this. I'm so proud of you for showing up and working out today. I would never want to take those opportunities away from myself. And that's why it's part of my Movement Doable Foundation. All forms of cardio are included, especially walking. I'm a huge walker. I love walking. In fact, today, when this is over, I am going, like, seriously, it's so beautiful outside. I am going to change my clothes and I'm going out for a walk because we don't get that many sunny days where the temperature's in the 60s in Nashville. So I'm going to go out for a walk. I park away from entrances instead of hunting for spots. I no longer hunt for spots unless it's pouring down rain. And then I take a week off outside of walking about once every 3 months. I usually take a week off from hard workouts. I take a week off from strength training and I just do some walks. How I talk to myself about my body. No shit talk is allowed to go unchecked. That's my doable foundation. If I hear it, I change it or I stop it. Period. Eating out. My doable foundations are I check menus ahead of time when possible. I look at doable options first before perusing things that I don't typically eat. I know me. It's no surprise when I go to a restaurant and I'm like, ooh, that looks good. That looks delicious and stuff. But most of the time when I go to restaurants, here's what I also know. There's a lot of things that like look delicious and I could plan them. But I also, we like to go out to eat frequently. And I'm not going to be able to just eat nachos 3 and 4 times a week and expect maintenance. So like maybe once a week, it's wine and nachos. The other 3 days, it's water and a nice grilled shrimp salad. Not because I'm deprived. Because I'm like thinking about, what do I want for myself? Bigger picture. I want to be able to have foods I truly love, and I want to be able to keep my weight off. How do they work together? And I figured that out along the way without telling myself, you can't have that. But I also know me. I want to look at the other stuff. So I always look at my doable options before I look at all the other things that I just don't eat on a daily basis anymore. If I plan it, then I enjoy it guilt-free. That is one of my other things about eating out. But if you ever go out to eat with me and I have said like, ooh, I'm going to be having dessert. I'm going to have some wine. Ask my best friend. When we travel together, I eat the things. And when I do, you can ask her. I enjoy it. And I very often, because I give myself permission to enjoy it guilt-free, I never feel like I have to finish it because there's nothing in me saying, this is bad for you. You shouldn't be eating it. So you better eat a bunch of it because we're not going to get this again for a long time. My conversation is, you planned it. You deserve to enjoy it. And I'm so glad you're the kind of person now that plans foods like this, because we never have to think these foods ever go away again. I also, no bread baskets. I just don't do bread baskets. I learned a long time ago, bread baskets aren't a big thing for me. I've never went to a restaurant that had such amazing free fucking bread on the table that I was just like, oh my God, stop right here. So I just don't do them because I'm like, I'm going to like want other things. There's way more important things than bread baskets. I always share desserts if possible and only order desserts sometimes. Sometimes I know that I am just like, all I want is dessert. I'm going to like sit here. I'm going to enjoy watching everybody else eat because I'm having dessert at the end. And that's all I want for this meal. And I want to be able to eat more of the dessert. I don't want to be full on a salad or whatever. No getting foods for bullshit reasons. Like, well, everybody else is doing it. I don't do that at restaurants. I don't eat stuff just because it was ordered for the table. And I don't eat stuff just because I don't get to have it very often. For me, that's not called worth it reasons. That's called excuses. And I don't eat over those things. So those are my doable foundations. So I'm going to coach, I believe it is Sierra. Yep. Kyria. And we're going to talk about doable foundations. And then y'all can continue to do your worksheet. And ask questions in the Q&A and chat if you're having a tough time with it. Is it Kyria?
It's Kyra.
Kyra. Okay. I just want to make sure. Yeah. I was like trying to read it over here. So, all right. So what are we coaching on?
So I am a new mom of a 1-month-old. And
aw, congratulations.
Thank you. It's been an adventure, and I'm also an overachiever. I've been with you for about 1.5 years. And so while with pregnancy, I'm working on, obviously getting back to where I was weight wise before pregnancy and then getting to goal. But as an overachiever, I really do struggle with the doable foundation concept, feeling like it's not enough to move me forward.
But how is it enough to move you forward? I get that we all struggle with that thought. The problem, the reason why we struggle with it is because we hang on to the identity, but I'm an overachiever.
Right.
Instead of like, all right, the struggle is because I keep identifying as an overachiever instead of like allowing myself to think like, all right, is it actually not good enough? Let me ask you this. What is something that you, did you lose weight with me previous to this baby?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
On day one, did you implement every single thing I did and never make another mistake?
No.
Okay. So you're not an overachiever. You can probably just quit saying that story. What would be a more accurate way to describe how you lost weight other than like, well, you know, I started off with every fucking thing because I'm an overachiever and it all went smokingly well and I lost all my weight.
Yeah, it 100% was just sticking with it and not giving up. Yeah.
So that was the formula for success. Why do you not want to use your own formula for success then?
I guess because looking at what I have written in my doable foundation, what it feels like I'm taking steps back because I have way less time, and also, you know, with a newborn, I'm working around his schedule, and I'm very much a planner, and I have a hard time being flexible, and so I've scaled everything way back, and it just like it feels like it's something I can maintain, but I have a hard time seeing how it will propel me forward. And it being also New Year's, I of course every year start with like big goals for the year, and I'm just having a hard time seeing how I'm going to get from point A to point B.
What's your big goal for this year?
I have a bunch of art related goals. I'm an artist.
But I mean, I'm just talking about in terms of like weight loss. Let's keep it really on your weight loss.
Yeah. So I want to lose at this point about 50 more pounds, and that will be lower than before pregnancy.
Okay. So you want to lose 50 pounds, which is less than a pound every single week.
Yeah.
And tell me what it is that you're planning to do this month that won't help you lose 0.8 pounds per week.
That won't help me?
Yep.
Well, I am planning on doing things that will help me.
Oh,
not actively planning.
So when your brain says, I'm an overachiever, it's not good enough. I got goals, bitch.
Your
brain's wrong. It's like, oh, wait, this plan that I just said won't get me from here to there. Then you're like, oh, wait a minute. That will help me lose weight.
Yes.
All I did was ask you the obvious question, which is when your brain says it's not good enough, you're supposed to say like, well, why? Like specifically, show me the actual thing that I've put on the plan that's like, no, this is a cock blocker. This couldn't work ever.
Right.
So tell me what it is on your plan. Like, I want you to really think about this. What is it that's on this plan right now that you're like, not good enough? Let's kind of pick one thing out and let's just make sure that your brain isn't just wrong.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, my issue has always been stopping at enough. And okay. I have noticed I have been losing weight. So again, I'm proving myself wrong again.
Well, that's one of the best things we can do in weight loss is learn the skill of proving our shit brain wrong.
Yeah.
So that's really good to know, is that like you're already proving yourself wrong. You just have some unfounded fears and doubts. And I think it's just stemming from this, I'm an overachiever identity. Does that even feel good to call yourself an overachiever?
No. And I'm realizing how like deeply rooted that has been a part of my identity. And it's not serving me anymore.
What would you like to call yourself now?
That yeah.
Would be a little bit more accurate.
Yeah. That I have no idea. I've always been told I'm an overachiever. I've always I'm a type A person. I get shit done. Like,
well, how about you're like, rather than saying I'm an overachiever, how about I'm just really good at getting things done?
Yeah. And that is true.
That sounds a little better.
Yeah.
To me, because every time you say I'm an overachiever, you say it almost as like, let me tell you this bad thing about me.
Right.
And I don't mean like, it's almost like, because that's the way I've always, like, I used to always think I'm an overachiever. And there was always pressure behind it.
Yeah.
Like I realized, like for me, overachiever meant I had to do things. There were things I was supposed to be doing. I can't be like everybody else. Expectations for me are just different than other people. And that was because of the way I was raised. I was with a single mom, from the age of 5, I had to be a babysitter. We joke often, like I was the mom of the family. There was my brother who I was his primary caregiver while my mother was working all the time. And my mother was only 17 when she had me. And pretty much, I matured up real fast, and I think I mothered her, still do to this day. I still fall into this thing. And so anyway, I only say that because when I would think about being an overachiever, it always felt like there was pressure to perform. It wasn't because like, I just love achieving. Like I'm so good at it. Like my definition wasn't like, I'm an amazing person. So woohoo, overachiever. It was more like, I have to be one. I've always been told I've been one.
Yeah.
So what if you just cut yourself some slack and just say, like, here's what's really the case. I'm really good at getting things done. And if that's the case, when it comes to weight loss, I'm going to put down things that I know I really can get done.
Yeah. Yeah, that feels a lot more doable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this, I want you to answer this question. I want you to look at that list. Is there anything on there that your brain is saying, this is just not good enough? Like, I really don't see how we're going to lose weight doing this.
Well, I think I have things written down that I can see a direct connection to making progress. I actually am not sure I'm going to be able to do those things.
Then I would not, like, what is it on there that you're like, I'm not sure I can do it? Because if you aren't sure you can do it, we need to evaluate it to see why you're unsure. Because sometimes if you're unsure, there's a signal that your overachiever self is trying to put these things on there. And that is not the season you're in right now.
Right.
And there's a thousand ways to lose weight. There was the version of you that didn't have a baby and she lost her weight one way. And then there's the version of you that has a baby and she's going to lose weight a whole different way.
Yeah. So what I have written down for eating when hungry, ask if I'm hungry before I eat anything. And actually looking at that, I'm, especially these days, I definitely know when I'm hungry because I'm usually waiting too long to eat. Mm-hmm. So that's actually not that hard. I had make sure that I have easy foods available so that I can eat mm-hmm. when I'm hungry.
And why is that a problem with weight loss?
Well, because in my mind, it just found some diet mentality. For me, the easy foods are things like toast and bagels and cheese.
Like if you're hungry?
Yeah.
Why are those a problem?
They're not. I'm realizing that I'm making them a problem in my head and they're really not.
Mm-hmm. But this is good to know though. It's like,
yeah,
my head is making these things a problem. One part of my head is my habit brain is making these things a problem. But because you like most of the time achievers are really good at using the logical part of their brain too. This is where it's like, now I want to use all of this like angst, this won't be a good enough, this like overachiever stuff. I want to use that as my indicator light. It's time to use my logical brain to figure out, is this true or not?
Right.
Now, like if you had had on your list, 10 hours of cardio a week. I'm saying like, I'm just trying to throw out something. And you've got a 1 month old. And then you had told me like, well, I also want to exercise and I want it to be for an hour every morning, first thing, come hell or high water. But I got that baby. We would have used that to be like, okay, I can see why you're unsure of that, this stage in life. What could we do? Like, that's when you would want to negotiate. But you're just, I think you just have some perfectionistic standards that are clouding. And that's why we want to always use that hesitancy, that fear, that not enoughness, those voices. We want to use those as a trigger to say like, okay, let's talk about it. Why wouldn't it be good enough? What is on my list is like, when I say there's no way I can lose weight doing this. And when I look at them piece by piece, I'm like, oh wait, not only can I do these things, but hell, if I was actually doing that, I'd be just losing weight.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Oh, so that's the eating when hungry part, the stopping at enough. I have pausing 3/4 of the way through a meal to ask if I've had enough. And I don't know if I can do that.
Why can't you do that?
Because at some meals, not all. At some meals, I'm just trying to eat as quickly as I can to go back to taking care of the baby.
Okay. And, so the meals that we don't have to rush, let's ask at 3/4 of the way through. And then on the meals that we're just trying to get back to the baby, let's just be really aware. We might want to watch how much we serve ourselves because we're going to be in a rush.
Okay. Portion control on the rushed meals. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool.
And I will bet you, just knowing what I know about babies, because I have one, well, he's not a baby. My baby's now 20, but I will tell you, I remember every fucking minute of Logan's earlier life because I was really struggling. It was like it left a traumatic imprint in my brain on his early days. But the way your baby is at month one and the way your baby is at like 3 or 4 months changes. So like, let's not make having to rush to a meal right now. There's your baby, like, probably does need you to get back to it at times. And then as they get a little older, you just don't want to lose the habit of asking about the 3/4 and it staying in your awareness, whether you follow it or not, because it won't be long before the baby is self-entertaining enough to where not all of your meals are you just trying to be like a trash panda and get through it as much as you can.
Yeah.
So that's why we want to have those, like, my intention is to be this person. How close can I get to that? Because you're in, this is like for most of us, you are in a dynamic situation that's going to change and ebb and flow. And you want to be the kind of person who can be dynamic with that and not be like, there's one way or the fucking highway.
Yeah. Yeah. I use hashtag pivot like a motherfucker in my brain all the time. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that scares me too, is like knowing he's going to change and realizing, like, I, as prepared as I thought I was, you know, the reality of life now, I, you know, there's no way to be prepared for it until it's happening. Mm-hmm. And so I know that things will be different, but I don't, like, I feel like there's going to be trade-offs and things are going to be harder in some ways and easier in others. And
that's, I'm just, good news though, right? I love that thought. Some things will get easier. Some things will get harder.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just afraid that by the end of the year, I'll be in the same place, even though he's changed. If that makes sense.
I know that's scary, but how is there's only one way that the baby changes and you don't change. And how is that?
I don't adapt my thinking along the way. And I love in the previous section that, you know, I am going to be with myself the whole way. And so I'm not going to get to the end of the year and be surprised by who I've become.
Well, no, you won't look in the mirror and be like, what happened to me? I'm an ogre.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is the awesome thing for, this is what I wish I'd had at your stage. When I had my baby, I had no idea that we could choose how we think about ourselves. I had no idea that our thoughts weren't just real. Like, no one, I had never read a self-development book or anything. Like, y'all would be shocked. If I wish I could have given anything if we had had iPhones back then so I could record some of the horse shit that I believed in the bidet. At your stage, the beautiful thing that you have is you have your mind with you the entire time. So when you don't have time and space to take care of you physically, you always have it mentally. And that was the piece that really, I wish, like, if I could go back and tell my past self something, that would be that one piece of advice that would have gotten me through Logan's first year so much better, is to be like, just don't forget, you have you the entire time. You have you there to pick you up on the days you feel bad. You have, you, like, you can rock a baby and think, about what you want to think about. You can be taking care of bathing a baby and doing the 4,000 things that we have to do for babies, nursing and everything. And you can sit there and you can consciously decide how you want to talk to yourself the entire time. You can appreciate your mothering. You can appreciate it being hard for you. You can tell yourself you're not crazy for all of your thoughts and all of the things. Like, you get to be like I always think about, like, when Logan was little, I wanted so bad there to be like an expert in the room that could just tell me everything was going to be okay, that I wasn't going to fuck him up, like all that stuff. Because I really believed I'd screwed my life up so bad that I was probably just going to screw his up too. It was a very hard year for me. And I wish that I had known that I could have sat there and talked to myself every day in a nice way. And that I could have loved on myself and I could have applauded myself for every sleepless moment, every second that I dragged my sorry ass up when I didn't want to. No, like every time, like he breastfed so much, I couldn't go anywhere. Like that year I got over a lot of body shame. As much as I didn't like being overweight, boy, I would lop a tit out in a heartbeat. Like I really learned, like, my baby takes precedence over what anybody else thinks about my tits. But I never told myself that. So just don't forget you. Like, the best way for you to change along with your baby through this entire year is for you to talk to yourself this entire year about who you are becoming, how proud you are of you.
I can do that.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. Right.
And get sleep whenever you can. I know everybody says, Lord, fuck. Nobody knows how important sleep is until they have that first baby. And they're like, what happened?
Yeah. I was 100% on sleep before. And now I'm just like, wherever I can get it.
I used to tell myself, Chris and I used to laugh when we had Logan. We were like, oh my God. I can't believe we ever thought we were busy before this. We did nothing with our lives.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And Chris and I actually did stuff with our lives, but boy, parenting, it's fun. Like, I'm still parenting that. Yesterday we took ours out for breakfast yesterday morning, our little 20-year-old. He's the sweetest boy ever. But we took him out yesterday and I was thinking about this just when we were coaching. I actually told myself yesterday, because we had not planned to go to breakfast. And when we're getting ready to do big workshops and stuff, it's almost like everything in the house stops, like everything becomes no BS. And Logan very often, you know, he takes a back seat sometimes, like we're busy and stuff. Just like I'm spending the entire day. I haven't even seen my son this morning, you know, except for I passed him in the hallway. And I took a minute yesterday to tell myself, I'm so grateful that I'm the kind of person now who can go out to eat without flipping out and thinking that I'm going to gain weight or that I'm not going to know what to order or anything. I just woke up yesterday and said, let's all go to breakfast. Who wants to go? Then we went to First Watch and I just did the things I was telling y'all. I looked at the menu. I found something that would work. And I was sitting there thinking about how proud I am of myself, because back in the day when I was terrified of going out to eat and stuff, I wouldn't even take my own son out to eat. I wouldn't go places with people, all because, like, I wouldn't know how to eat. I never wanted to live like that ever again. And I encourage all of you, this is the reason why no BS is different. I don't want you living like that for the rest of your life. I don't want you missing out on moments where you can spend time with your family and spend so much of our life is about food. Food is not just fuel. Food is also connection. Food has a lot of very important pieces in our life. And sitting around a table and having breakfast with my son was everything. And I didn't have to make it mean I can't lose weight or I can't keep my weight off or anything because of that. And I'm so grateful I gave myself that gift years ago. Okay.